Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are immersing ourselves in the current, and I mean rapidly evolving, state of platform engineering. We're really not talking about a niche hobby anymore.
Not at all.
We've told insights from the latest big industry reports, volumes 3 and 4 specifically, and what they're showing confirms that PE is, well, it's basically the foundational operating system of the modern enterprise now.
And that's not an exaggeration. We're talking about adoption by nearly 90% of large organizations.
Wow.
That number, it's truly staggering, and it immediately sets the mission for this deep dive. You
It
know,
really
the
does.
sources confirm the community is just immense, nearing 270,000 members globally. And events like PlatformCon 2025, they had over 255 talks.
So the conversation has completely changed.
Completely. It's decisively moved away from what is platform engineering, and it's now focused entirely on what does great platform engineering actually look like, and maybe more importantly, how do we even measure it?
Exactly. So our mission today is to distill those shifts for you. We see three major vectors emerging from the data. PE is maturing fast, it's standardizing, it's shifting its scope with this idea of shifting down, and most critically, it's grappling with the defining challenge of our time, AI.
Let's start with that scope evolution.
Let's.
What's fascinating is how quickly the strategy has evolved. For years, the mantra in DevOps was shift left, right.
Right, move security and testing earlier.
But the reports highlight a huge realization that shifting left often just meant dumping more work onto the developer.
Oh, absolutely. Here are more tools, more dashboards, more things to worry about. The cognitive load just exploded.
It did. And now that's being replaced by something the reports call shifting down.
Okay, that sounds almost counterintuitive, shifting down.
It does, but it's the ultimate evolution of abstraction. Shifting down is all about embedding those responsibilities, those guardrails, and quality attributes directly into the platform itself.
So you're removing the toil completely.
You are. You're not just moving the effort earlier, you are eliminating it from the developer's plate altogether by just automating it inside the platform's core.
Okay, give us a concrete example. If shifting left meant I, as a developer, had to remember to run a security scan, what does shifting down mean?
Great question. So take security. This is why we say platform engineering is eating the world, right? It's absorbing these siloed functions. We now see these specialized domains like security platform engineering or SPE.
SP, okay.
So instead of the developer running a scanner, SPE focuses on baking secure golden paths and automated guardrails directly into the platform. When a developer provisions a new service, the platform already uses secure defaults. Handles secrets management, mandates identity controls. It's all invisible.
So compliance becomes a built-in feature, not a roadblock. What about something like observability? That always feels like a huge
And
afterthought.
that's where Observability Platform Engineering, or OPE, comes in. OPE mandates observability by default. So logs, metrics, traces, they aren't things a developer has to remember to bolt on. They are automatically built-in components of any service the platform provisions.
So you eliminate that nightmare scenario where something goes live and whoops, no one can trace errors because someone forgot to add the agent.
Precisely. And the same logic is now being applied to money.
To FinOps, why is that a core platform concern now? Shouldn't that be a separate team?
Because separate reporting is always too slow, and it's usually too late. FinOps is now embedded directly into the platform workflows. The goal is proactive, cost-aware architecture.
Okay.
The platform gives you automated tagging, continuous right-sizing. The developer gets real-time cost visibility in their sandbox before they deploy something ridiculously oversized. It changes behavior immediately.
That real-time feedback is everything. And if we look at the core motivations for launching PE, the numbers really tell that story. The main driver is standardizing these fragmented DevOps setups. That's at 47.5%.
That just shows the chaos they're trying to fix.
It does. And right behind it, reducing developer cognitive load at 47.1%.
And that links directly to ending ticket ops. Moving beyond manual tickets for everything, which just frustrates everyone and creates bottlenecks.
That push for self-service. It really brings us to the interface debate, doesn't it? It seems like the industry is realizing the core of the platform matters way more than its shiny front end.
Oh, this is a huge one. We have to talk about the infamous portal trap.
The portal trap. I like that.
So many early PE initiatives fell victim to this. Teams were pressured to show value fast, so they'd launch a developer portal, maybe using Backstage, but then they completely neglected the back-end orchestration.
So they built a shiny app with no engine inside.
Exactly. The analogy in the reports is perfect. It's like trying to build a house by starting with the windows or the front door.
just doesn't work.
Portals are critical interfaces, absolutely, but they cannot replace the orchestration core. The big realization is you must start with a back-end first design.
So if the portal is just the tip of the iceberg, what does that solid structure underneath look like? The reports contrast two main types of backends.
Yes, and this is where the real architectural shift is happening. Most organizations started with pipeline-based backends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, classic CI/CD plus infrastructure as code.
The familiar stuff.
But the problem is they're linear start-stop systems. A CI job fails, everything stops. They just scale really poorly with complexity.
And you get those brittle nested pipelines that I&O teams hate.
Exactly. They were never designed to handle complex business logic, which is why the top performing teams are moving to something totally different.
Yeah.
Graph-based backends.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. A graph-based backend.
Think of them as platform orchestrators.
Yeah.
If a pipeline is a rigid checklist, a graph is like a GPS or a central nervous system. It's built to handle complexity and model dependencies dynamically.
How does that work in practice then?
The genius is the abstraction. A developer specifies their needs abstractly, maybe using the score workload spec.
So they say what they need, not how to build it.
Precisely. I need a database, a message queue, a public endpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The orchestrator takes that and dynamically generates all the configurations and dependencies as a resource graph. It maps everything out.
That sounds like the secret sauce for enforcing those FinOps and security principles we were just talking about.
It is. And that standardization is being helped by the increased reliance on reference architectures. V2.0 is the new benchmark now.
Right.
It provides a common framework. It standardizes design across those five planes: developer control, integration and delivery, resource monitoring and logging, and security. You get consistency.
So moving on from architecture, if PE is the new OS, then AI is the killer app running on top of it. The sources are calling AI the defining trend.
Well, the convergence of infrastructure and software has pushed us from the cloud native era right into the AI native era.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts platform engineering at the absolute core of this transformation.
You can't scale AI without a standardized platform.
You really can't. And the reports define a dual mandate for PE teams now. They're not just consumers of AI, they're the enablers.
So what's the first mandate?
The first is AI-powered platforms. This is about augmenting your own internal developer platform to turbocharge developer productivity.
Like what?
Think intelligent services inside the platform. Automated security scanning that flags likely false positives, or intelligent troubleshooting that suggests fixes based on past deployments. It makes the platform itself smarter.
Okay, and the second mandate, platforms for AI, that sounds a lot more complex.
It's significantly more complex. This is about building the specialized infrastructure for the full AML workload, lifecycle training, deployment, inferencing, monitoring. These aren't your typical web apps.
No, they need specialized compute, GPUs, new deployment patterns.
Right, and they often cater specifically to data scientists and MLOps specialists, not just application developers.
The numbers on this are just incredible. 94% of organizations see AI as critical or important to PE's future, and 86% believe PE is essential to even getting business value from AI.
It means if you fail to integrate AI into your platform strategy, you're basically failing your entire enterprise strategy.
We're already seeing specialized blueprints for this, aren't we?
We are. The reports mention a reference architecture for an AML internal developer platform, V0.1. That V0.1 tag says it all, right?
It's very new.
Very new, very immature. But it establishes new architectural planes just for AI things like data and model management, GPU orchestration, and model monitoring to track drift and bias. It's a whole new world of specialization.
That brings us to our final segment and a bit of a reality check. We need to shift from the technical architecture to the organizational maturity and the obstacles facing PE today. We've talked about the ideal. What's the reality?
We can use the CNCF platform engineering maturity model for this. It shows a really clear maturity plateau.
Okay.
On the investment side, the majority, 45.5%, have dedicated teams, which is great. But those teams are still mostly reactive, just fixing problems.
So they're firefighters.
True optimization, a proactive ecosystem, is still rare. Only 13.1% of organizations are there.
And the challenges feel more cultural than technical, especially with adoption. You can build the best platform in the world, but if no one uses it,
it's worthless. And adoption is still too often driven by extrinsic push, a mandate from the top. That's at 36.6%.
As opposed to developers actually wanting to use it.
Exactly. Only 28.2% report adoption is driven by intrinsic value, where developers are just drawn to the platform because it's the easiest, best path to production. That gap shows a lot of platforms still lack product market fit internally.
There's also this idea of platform pluralism. We used to chase the mythical single platform to rule them all. The data says that's the wrong goal.
And that's actually a sign of maturity, not fragmentation. The report shows 55.9% of organizations now operate more than one platform.
Intentionally.
They recognize specialized workloads like AML or huge data pipelines need their own specialized platforms. Trying to build one platform for every problem usually results in one platform that solves no problem well.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The reports call it the measurement crisis.
This is, for me, the most alarming finding in the entire report. Nearly 30%, 29.6% to be exact, of platform teams report they do not measure success at all.
Wow. That's dangerous.
It's incredibly dangerous. If you can't measure success, you can't prove ROI. You can't get executive sponsorship. And you are guaranteeing that your platform funding is the first thing on the chopping block in a downturn.
So for the teams that are measuring, what are they using?
Of those who do measure, Delora metrics are still the most widely used. They're popular because they directly tie platform improvements like lead time to developer productivity and business reliability.
Yeah.
But still, nearly a third are flying completely blind.
Before we wrap up, we have to talk about the workforce findings. The data showed a drop in average PE salaries. In North America, it went from about 193K down to 160K. That's a big drop. Is the field in decline?
That's the immediate question, isn't it? But the expert consensus is absolutely not. This is actually a strong signal of success in mainstreaming. When PE started, it was just these highly senior early adopters commanding premium salaries, your principal architects. Now, PE is an established career path, so it's attracting a wider range of mid-level and junior talent.
Ah, so that inflow brings the average down, but it means the discipline is growing and institutionalizing.
Exactly. It's the democratization of the discipline. It means platform engineering is here to stay.
That's a great piece of context. It really changes the whole narrative. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've seen this shift to back-end orchestration, the huge integration of AI, and these persistent gaps in measurement and culture.
The core recommendations are really clear. You have to treat your platform as a product. Adopt that platform as a product mindset. That probably means you need a dedicated platform product manager.
And you have to focus on the human side.
You must prioritize culture and empathy to get that intrinsic adoption. Without users who are genuinely drawn to your platform by its value, the most perfect orchestration engine will just sit there and fail.
So this boils down to a fundamental reframing, doesn't it? Success isn't just about the tech you choose.
It's about culture and proactive design. The organizations that are going to thrive in this new AI-native era are the ones embedding essential qualities, fine ops, observability, security into their golden paths right now.
Making secure, cost-aware development the easy path, the default path.
Exactly. Those who hesitate, who fail to measure, who stick with manual ticket ops, they're just building up organizational debt that's going to grow exponentially. The choice really is yours to make.